Want to get the most out of the tread on your tires? Burt Brothers is offering a free alignment check and $20 off any oil change. Book your next service online today or stop by any Burt Brothers location near you and let them get your car ready for the adventure ahead. Burt Brothers, complete auto care done better.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
We are back at it. On the Saturday show, I am Michelle Bodkin. Jake Hatch, of course, is with me, and proud to bring in our next guest. This is a live one because, there were only a handful of us that worked for the Stallions that actually, lived in Salt Lake.
You all survived and stuck around?
Well,
just kidding.
Well, I mean, this is home for me.
Sure.
This is home for her. I'm talking about our old marketing manager, Elizabeth Osmolowski.
Thank you.
Yes. So happy to have you.
Thank you. Even though you called me old. No, I'm just kidding.
Did I call you old?
You said old. No,
old
I don't.
Marketing manager.
Old. Previous.
Our previous yes. Marketing VP manager. My bad.
Let's not call me old. I'm just kidding. I'm just giving her a hard time.
That's okay.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. Like Michelle said, a lot of the ones we've done so far, talking about, we're calling this like a series, like a retrospective on the Steins. Well, most of them are out of state, all over the country now, but it's cool to have you still here.
Well, I mean, in you guys' defense, that was all the football operations side
of it. Sure,
and players, and I feel a little, being the first front office and business person, I'm not as cool as those guys who were on before.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Because actually, I think we talk a lot about the failures of the Alliance of American Football.
Do you now?
I mean, they're numerous, and we could spend forever talking about that. But I think one of the things they got right was celebrating women in sports and giving a bunch of us opportunities. I'm pretty sure you were one of the only female marketing managers.
No, there were two others. Atlanta had one, and San Antonio did.
And I'm pretty sure I was one of the only female coaching assistants, if not the only one. Our reporter, our team reporter, Chantel, was the only female reporter.
Yeah,
the rest of them were male.
Yep.
So, I mean, some just really, really cool opportunities. And our team especially, I think, had women in key places, key spots.
I would agree with that, definitely.
Now, the interesting part about that was, I remember I was covering the team. I was all geeked out the fact that I have professional football in this market, so I was all in on it. But the fun part about it was, to your point, we're starting to see women get into more spots in professional football, and that I'm talking across USFL. Well, it's now with UFL.
We got to get that right.
Formerly XFL and USFL, but also it's also getting into the NFL now as well. We're starting to see female assistant coaches, front office executives. There was a woman that was up for a GM job this current offseason. I don't think she got it, but the fact they're even being mentioned in these circles, I think that's one of the legacies of the Alliance, is that they were willing to take that leap of faith.
Right, and there were definitely coaches and trainers, female coaches and trainers within the Alliance.
Sure.
And Dr. Jen Walter, is still doing that now. And definitely, there were a few.
Where
do we want to start?
I know. Where do we want to start? Seriously. How did you get involved with, how did you find out about the Stallions? How did you end up getting the job that you got?
Okay, great question. And I'll have to obviously jog my memory because 5 years does feel like a long time, especially with COVID since then.
I know.
Right? Just infinitely stretches time.
Well, that's the thing. It feels like it's been 15 years in so many ways, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in 2018, I've been in marketing, digital marketing specifically, my entire career.
Okay.
I also, earlier in my career, I did action sports journalism. So, that's really the only sports background I completely had, and just outdoor recreation, nothing really professional, other than covering some Olympics stuff from afar. And that was 2002 era, so the Olympics were here in Salt Lake. And I was living in New England. And in 2004, I came out for a visit for the first time to Salt Lake and moved here. Right after the Olympics, I moved here in 2004. So that's kind of the quick background on me. But in in 2018, I'd been with this digital company for a good 10 years. I was just looking for a change. And I really am attracted to the intersection of media, sports, business, and brand marketing, so, and entertainment, right? So I was specifically looking in that lane, and I was really realistically going to move out of state right before the Stallions came about. So it was just kind of happenstance. Like we had like ripped out our basement to remodel it like 4 months before the job came along, you know? And it pretty much changed the trajectory because we were told by the Alliance that we had 3 years of funding.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were going to like move up to the Portland area, and my husband was going to start or work in the cider industry in the Portland. And that's only relevant because we'll come back to it later.
Yes. We'll get to that in a moment here.
We'll get to that in a moment. So yeah, it changed the trajectory when I got this job. I mean, I don't even remember. I was doing obviously all these job searches in the sports media world. And I don't even remember how I came about, but it all happened very quickly in September of 2018. Mm-hmm. And I met the president, Tyler Howell, and met with Rich Murbrook, a couple other people kind of on the broader Alliance side. And you know, it just happened so fast. And I had to wrap up my last conference that I produced for my digital company the first week of October. So I started literally the next week, the second week of October. So what's crazy about that story, too, is just that I was the last VP of marketing hired. So in context of the Alliance and specifically the challenges we faced here, you know, in terms of getting the word out and having a plan, I was 3 to 4 months behind the rest of my marketing.
Oh, wow.
Peers, right. And that is just a tough time with the holidays. It was like an election year too.
Yeah.
So just buying advertising at a premium rate during that time is a huge challenge. And I was thrown to the wolves, you know, trial by fire, because I had no idea what I was doing in sports marketing, to be honest with you. So, but yeah, that's kind of the short story.
Now, obviously, we've had a bunch of individuals on who've talked about kind of like the football side of the experience with this. You talk about the fact you were behind the eight ball beginning.
Yeah.
But talk about the experience as it kind of played out. Does that make sense? Like in season.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I will say Tyler and Rich both came from NBA sales experience. Mm-hmm. So they had the sports background. Okay. So and then our director of sponsorship, Jim Braun, also tons of both college and other sports experience. So I learned a lot from them really, really quickly. And that's great. That's how I do best, honestly. But again, Tyler, I think, had only been hired like a month before me as president. So we were all sort of just, you know, doing everything at warp speed. So I had to hire my staff, as Michelle said earlier. I had to hire a cinematographer. I had to hire a social media manager. I had to hire Chantel. So she still lives in Salt Lake, too.
She
does. You can get her on next.
I thought about it. It'd be good to see her.
So Chantel, our sports reporter. And then I hadn't even hired this key critical role until very, very late, game presentation manager, basically.
Okay.
So somebody who worked at the stadium for games.
Game ops.
Game ops. Yeah. I mean, I didn't hire that. I didn't have that person in place, which didn't actually matter because we didn't have our first home game till well into February.
Yeah.
So that one I kind of delayed on, but I got somebody who had previously worked in Green Bay and for the Chiefs as well. So he had the experience at least. So that was great. So yeah, that was just kind of the speed at which we had to operate. I think a lot of things I don't have a ton of insight into because it happened at the Alliance level, like how it came about, playing at Rice-Eccles versus the RSL stadium. Like that was a huge debate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that contract got sealed so late in the game. So again, hard to plan a lot of things. Some things that we were up against the wall with, like in terms of what we couldn't do, what other teams could do to build a following, or just enhance the game experience. Obviously, we were the only cold weather team who was going to play, you know, in the middle of winter, which the powers that be in the Alliance liked the idea of. And, you know, we're used to it here.
We are used to it here.
And we're fine
with
that.
It's not a huge deal.
Right. But specifically, one of the things, I know, now I'm just dishing dirt here.
Well, it's fine. That's the whole purpose.
That's the whole thing with the whole weather thing. There's a misnomer that they think, like, this is like Green Bay.
It's not. And again, being from New England, my husband is from Green Bay. Like, we kind of laugh when people think think it's
playing the winter.
I mean, Buffalo's laughing at you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so it was kind of funny just from that perspective. We definitely were not scared of that. And think about how nice our weather can be in March. Like, we had a March home game. I had shirtless people in the stands getting a sunburn.
Yeah. So, yep. We did have that.
We did. So it was kind of crazy from that perspective. But one of the things that was going against us was, of course, the U at the time was a dry stadium. And not only that, they built in their contract, we could not allow tailgating the way they do it in the lot on the U. So that was a massive blow just in terms of opportunities, because think about there's corporate sponsorship opportunities in that tailgating lot for Utes games. So that was something we just had to battle. And nothing we could do about it, unfortunately.
I mean, yes, I think that's something that people don't necessarily know a whole lot about this team, is a lot of stuff was very, very last minute. I'm pretty sure our colors and our logo were last minute because when Randy hired me, he said the theme for the AAF is not like live living things. Well, all of a sudden, roll out a pony for, and we're the only ones that have a live animal. And I'm like, you just thought of this last minute, didn't you?
No.
Like, you had nothing else. You couldn't figure anything else out. And even my job, I was supposed to actually be over PR. That's what Randy and Dennis hired me for, and the league nixed it. And we didn't have a PR person in place until, like, I think we were already playing games before he was hired. And on top of that, Randy and Dennis were pissed. They were so mad that they were overrode on that one that they wouldn't even talk to the guy.
Right.
So it was like, I was the buffer between that guy and them. Yeah. I don't know if I should have said that.
Hold on.
But
this okay, and I'm coming from the media side who was there trying to get interviews and whatnot.
Yeah.
This explains a lot.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
And to be fair, the head of PR for the league didn't want that person.
Okay.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that. I thought that was their guy. They wanted
somebody
this
else.
Ah. Mystery.
I don't really know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really was. It was a whole thing. But they wanted me because I had worked in media here. I knew all the media people. And the crazy thing is, our PR guy started blocking and not telling local media when our practices were. There was a point in time when I had Dave Fox texting me, hey, when is your guys' practice and where is it?
And even
towards the end, he stopped like letting you guys know when stuff was.
Yeah,
our own in-house people, he wouldn't let know when we were doing stuff. It was an absolute mess.
It was tough. It was really, really tough.
Okay, so you talk about trajectory being changed. Well, here's the thing. You're still here in Utah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, fast forward 5 years. Yeah. Like I said, we were going to move to Portland so my husband could pursue the cider industry. Uh-huh. And 5 years later, or 2 years ago, I opened up a cider bar here in Salt Lake City. So I'm doing something completely different now.
But, it's called Scion Cider Bar.
Correct.
I have been scrolling through your guys', let's just put it this way, hearty selection of different ciders. What? Why did you decide to stick around Utah? What about it? Because you said you came here in 2004 and said, I'm moving here.
Like, yeah. Well, I came to ski and love the outdoor rec.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
That's definitely why.
And that's a draw for a ton of people. Mm-hmm.
Right. Although, last couple of years, I haven't been skiing.
Well, you know.
skied like two hours this season.
When you found a business, you're kind of in charge of things. It takes up a lot of time.
Totally. And Visit Utah and Visit Salt Lake have done such a good job marketing that, and the ski traffic is insane now. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of over that.
It's true. Yep. Try to get up either one of the Cottonwood Canyons or go up to Park City on a Saturday. It's nuts.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. I still love to try to do things outdoors. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we were going to go up to Portland because that's where, like, the cider scene is primarily. And my husband was going to do that. And when Alliance told us we had the 3 years of runway, we're like, well, better figure it out because we've got to do something else. And so my husband started a cider distributorship.
Okay.
So he now imports all of the ciders, or most of the ciders that we carry at our bar.
Got it.
So I own it. He does not own the bar. He has his own separate company. That's a federal thing, not a Utah thing. I always
say
that.
So he's the distributor.
He's a distributor.
You're the owner of said establishment.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And I have partners. I have a lot of business partners.
But it's nice to have the, like, you have the distributorship over here. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and we do use other local small distributors because this particular category of alcohol is not well served by the Utah State Liquor Store. So you have to basically bring it in specially.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of like the Alliance, you know, when I take a risk, I go big, right? Like I didn't know how the Alliance was going to turn out. And same thing with the cider bar. Like when you're kind of have that entrepreneurial spirit or that startup mentality, you know there's a huge chance of failure. And that's doubly true in the restaurant and bar industry in general. But our bar has the second largest collection of cider in North America. So, yeah.
It's pretty impressive right here in our backyard in Utah.
So impressive.
Right. Which would have been cool. Again, bringing back to the Stallions, would have been really cool if we could have stuck that around and grown it here.
Sure.
If we were in a different... Mm-hmm. world. or if we were in the XFL. So we did choose poorly. We should have gone the Vince McMahon XFL route. And that is kind of some of the history, right?
Yeah.
Like the Alliance was trying to race to beat XFL
and,
to the punch.
Cut a lot of corners, which is why it did not survive.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so with what you're doing here at the Cyan Cider Bar, like how's the response been locally? Like people embracing it. Obviously, you've been doing
great.
Okay, good.
No, I mean, it is good. It's always good, right? I mean, so many struggles, right? You know, to open up a bar or restaurant business post COVID when all that was a crazy struggle. So again, like I'm not afraid of failure or afraid of hard things, I guess, is the lesson there. One of my key business partners and GM, he is a founder of Proper Brewing.
Okay.
So he's got a lot of expertise on that side.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he Proper has like a branded Utes can right now, I think. So, so yeah, I mean, we've definitely had a great response because what we're doing is so unique in Salt Lake. Obviously, people see it too, just outside the state. And, you know, as marketing person, that's my goal too, to attract, you know, a loyal following of local Salt Lakers, get the word out. I go on media all the time locally for that. I mean, so there's elements that I've brought back because I've made so many local media appearances with the Stallions too. So it's kind of full circle in some ways. I mean, Michelle and I have joked that I pretty much have completed the media circuit.
I think
I personally have to be on 2 News. I got Coach Erickson and some of our guys on Talkin' Sports, but yeah.
I happen to work with a guy who, you know, may do some things with 2 News and Talkin' Sports.
Ah.
I produce DJ and PK every day.
Right. That's true.
So,
that's true. Yeah.
I can put a good one with David and see what we can do here.
Well, I mean, I have to be on like the daytime show. And,
sure.
I've done the daytime show
okay.
and talk about food and wine
and
how that goes together. But yeah, I mean, it's been a fun ride, and having been through the startup world where others are in control, at least as an owner, you get to control your destiny, which
you have your hands on the wheel.
Yeah. So I feel like I have so much PTSD from some of these experiences in other people's startups and dreams that if I'm going to fail, it's going to be on my terms, right?
Totally. Totally. So before you came on, I told Jake that you and I connected off of a love of red wine and gangster rap.
Yes.
Like, what is your like memory or core memory of doing this whole weird thing?
Well, one, I have to make a title edit as the editor in me can't. It should be Stilettos, Gangster Rap.
And that's
Red
right.
Wine,
that is right.
The
yes,
title of
there,
Michelle's
there was
that's forthcoming
even,
book.
That's an even better memoir title.
I
like
know,
this. Well
you.
Done.
I
well
have
done.
To, yes. I
See,
have
we
to.
Bring in a marketing expert. She's going to one up it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, yes, aside from that time that we bonded, and to be fair, that's going back, we bonded when we were in San Antonio because you had to live there for a ridiculous amount of weeks.
I lived with hundreds of guys, and I was basically the only woman there.
Well, and my two
others.
Girls. Yeah, and the two girls
but
on my team.
But they were also in and out.
True.
quite a, so it's just like sometimes they were there, sometimes they were not there.
Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, and I only got to spend the first week of training camp down in San Antonio and then a couple days later in the month. So that's when Michelle and I kind of hung out at the hotel bar and it started from there. But I think your question is more like, what's my biggest memory or like my takeaway, really, right?
From being with the Stallions.
And the beautiful thing about obviously what I do in digital media is just that it can live on. So I think one of the things I am most proud of producing, like as my role in terms of directing my content team, is, and I was lucky to be there that week, that it was going to be announced that Dennis Erickson was going to be inducted into the College Hall of Fame. And then Troy Polamalu as well. So we got to see him there during that week when that was announced. But my team basically secretly recorded all the other coaches.
That was incredible.
To get their thoughts on working with Coachy and, you know, what they meant to him. And you can watch this on YouTube. It's on the AAF Stallions YouTube channel. And it's emotional,
right?
And it's beautiful. And it's just such a great tribute to the camaraderie that obviously all football teams and have at some point, you know, if they're lucky to catch that and have a great coach and a great coaching staff. So I just love it. And I'm super proud of that piece in particular.
Well, and I guess the last thing I've got for you is through all of these interviews so far, and we got plenty more to go, because trust me, Michelle's got her tentacles everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Talking all these people, and I love it. It's awesome, because I was coming from the media side of things, is that every one of these interviews have come back to, I think, a singular point. Y'all bonded from this experience, and it went down in flames. Like, it's unfortunate the way it went down, obviously, but it all of you who were involved in it have a connection now. And that's the fun part about it. 5 years later, it still exists.
Yeah, and we check in with each other from time to time. I mean, Rich has talked about getting the gang back together to celebrate. And guess where that's going to be? Probably a Stallions party at Science Center Park.
Yep.
So, hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen.
My last thing that I feel like we need to bring up before we let you go. You have to tell the story about our pretty pony.
Oh.
I have not heard this story, so I'm excited.
Yes. And just minor correction, the Commanders also had a horse on their field.
Did
they?
The
San Antonio Commanders.
I don't remember that.
They did. Unfortunately, because things were happening so last minute for us, we didn't have ours for our first home game, but she was committed to the four remaining home games. But so Renee Kelly was a former Miss Utah Rodeo, and I found Striker, but as you know, Rich likes to call him Galaxy, but his name was Striker the Stallion. That's his real name. And she was great, and she, you know, worked with us to lead the team out onto the field. And that, again, fun piece of production with that. So it's a great time.
I just love the argument with Charlie over where the funds should go, and he wanted that horse so bad.
Right. And so he did want
the
horse.
I don't care if you have fans in the stands or if anyone knows you exist, that pony will be there.
Yes.
You know, he did
and
what you gotta do.
As far as I know, I'm pretty sure she got paid. I think the university took care of her.
Okay, so that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So to end on a high note.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, it's awesome to have you in.
Like, thank you.
I'm telling you, your cider bar, you can go through that menu, and you've got, and I call it a menu, but it's just a selection list, and it is expansive. So essentially, anybody who wants to try the cider scene,
universe,
whatever,
yeah,
you guys are the place to go, it seems like. You said the second largest
in North America. Yeah, and we do all sorts of like educational.
Who's number one, by the way? Where's number one?
It's in Seattle, so surprising. Yeah,
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to go to Portland, so the Northwest.
Yeah, Northwest, yeah.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. Cider, a lot of it connected with apples, and hey, the apple, like, so. Anyways. But
no, you're right.
It's good to have you in, and we wish you nothing but the best, and we'll have to do this again soon, all right?
Definitely. There's so much more to say.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We will come back on the other side. We'll get into some of the topics we have not had a chance to touch on quite yet. This is the Saturday Show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you.
or sportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Saturday show here right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Hope you all are doing well on this Saturday morning. All right, Michelle, we have two Olympians that have just been signed, sealed, and delivered going to Paris 2024, and they're Utah connections.
Yay!
Clayton Young and Connor Mance, both former BYU All-American, All-Everything, track and field and cross-country stars, finished 1-2 at the Olympic marathon trials this morning.
Whoa.
So we got two Olympians that have just punched their tickets this summer going over to Paris. So
love that.
It's
I know of a potential third in the works. Utah's Amelie Morgan,
yeah,
is going to be heading back to Great Britain to compete and see if she can't stamp her place in with Team Great Britain.
Well, I'm just saying, and with the connections that track and field is now worldwide,
so crazy.
BYU's probably this is just me postulating, but there's probably five or six others from BYU that'll go and try and qualify from their home nations,
yeah,
and whatnot. But 1-2 in the Olympic marathon.
And kudos to you for even wanting to run a marathon, to be honest.
I've had who was I talking to not too long ago? Jake, would you ever consider running a marathon? I'm like, no.
No. Absolutely
and
not.
I kind of floored him with how quick I responded. Why not? Running, A, never been my thing. And number two, all I hear from my friends that have done marathons is the suffering that you have to put up with. To a person that I know that has run a marathon, tells me mile 20, you're they call it the suffer fest. I'm like, okay, no offense, that doesn't sound fun.
No, there's nothing about that sounds fun. You know what? Utah fans did good getting me involved with the 597 Ty Jordan challenge. That was spread out over months, I could walk, I could run, I could hike in order to get those miles. But that's as good as that's ever gonna get.
I'm very much an anaerobic sports person, not an anaerobic sports person. Let's just put it that way. No, but it's awesome to see this because these are guys who, like I said, they had incredible careers at BYU and they've done really nice things. And by the way, we got to give a tip of the cap to Ed Eystone. Obviously, he's a legend in his own right. He's been to the Olympics. He's a coach of BYU's track and field and cross and country programs. He has sent now three Olympians to the Olympic Games since I think 2016 or something like that.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool to see that. And obviously when their guys, by the way, and both Clayton Young and Connor are both Utah guys. I think Connor is Skyview, Logan area.
Okay.
And
okay,
Clayton's,
like Utah,
and
Utah.
Clayton's from American Fork. And we just recently had, and I'm going to get this wrong probably, I think it was Harriman and American Fork were nationally ranked this past season in the high school ranks, and one of them took home a national title this year.
Wow.
In the high school cross-country thing. I come from a high school at Mountain View in Orem that, under Dave Houle's direction, routinely had All-Americans, athletes that would win national titles. It was crazy to watch him do his thing. His brother Eric is the head coach at Southern Utah, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got a pretty cool track and field cross country scene here, and now it's going to be representing on the international stage.
I mean, to be honest, I love how much our state is just connected with the Olympics in general.
Yeah. Well, we have 2034. We're going to get the games back, it looks like.
Between the winter sports, yeah. Some of the track and fields, mm-hmm. the gymnastics, we just have such a strong love for Olympic sports and produce so much Olympic talent.
Yeah.
One way or another, whether they come in, whether they're actually from here,
yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's just so cool.
Well, and the fun part is, like I said, these are two guys born
Utah,
and
Utah.
Raised.
They're like, Utah.
They didn't come to Utah for college, mm-hmm. and then we've had plenty of those, but
oh, yeah.
they have guys that are like homegrown, so I guess is the easiest way to say it. So congratulations to both of them. They finished, by the way, Michelle. Connor Mance crossed the finish line 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 5 seconds. And by the way, Clayton Young, a grand total of 1.19 seconds later.
You know what? I can think of a million things I could do and enjoy a whole lot more in 2 hours than running. So,
well, covering 26.2 miles. And, wow.
That's flying.
And by the way, like that's these two, they're the two fastest American marathoners in 2023. They ran Mance ran a 2 minutes 7 second marathon in Chicago, and Young was a 2 minutes and eight two min, 2 hours and 8 minutes. So they actually kind of slowed down the pace here. But hey, congratulations to both of them. This was down in Orlando, and we'll be obviously rooting them on. And yeah, we're going to see. I think there's going to be plenty of others from this state that we're representing in Paris. And we work for a station that is sending a strong representation over to Paris as well. I know from the sports side, it's Sam Farnsworth mm-hmm. is going over.
Yep.
So cool. It'd be awesome. So and now they will have at least two they can track
and cover.
Yeah. All right. Couple of other things we need to touch on. It is the Pro Bowl this weekend, Michelle. Have you watched any of the Pro Bowl festivities in Vegas?
No. The only thing I saw was...
I saw your tweets.
Yeah,
I had a similar reaction. Miles Killebrew.
Yes. Like, how and why? And also, yes, very impressed that you were able to catch that.
Yeah, so Miles Killebrew is a former Southern Utah star who has spent he's grinded out an incredible, I think, 6 or 7 years now in the NFL.
Not bad.
They had like this like it was like punt fielding competition or whatever, and he had like at least 5 or 6 footballs already in his arms. And you watch this ball go up off the jugs machine, and the final one that you and I both kind of responded to on social media. He decides, you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to stick this one that's in my one hand between my legs and catch that one too. Now, Christian,
unreal.
I know you're a proud Southern Utah alum. Were you happy to see that happen?
I love Miles Killebrew, man.
Okay.
He's been really under the radar his entire career because
yeah.
he's mainly a special teams
yes.
guy. He was drafted by the Lions.
Correct.
But then since he's been with the Steelers, he's like that special teams player. Like he just blocks punts mm-hmm. when they need it.
Special teams ace.
Right. Yeah. And he's so, so cool. And it's like players like that don't get enough recognition. And then – like I said, being from Southern Utah,
yeah,
going to SEU, like that's, I think it's really, really cool. I never met him, but it's like, I love seeing him succeed and now getting all the social media hype with
yeah.
that stuff. Like,
yeah.
that's awesome.
Well, and then we also saw Puka Nacua in like the best catch competition. He gets on a wakeboard. He's in a wake park.
What? I missed this.
Oh, you missed it?
Okay. Oh, I'm going to have to go find that.
Yeah, so he caught a pass from the guy who was standing on like on the dock and threw it to him. He's behind a boat wakeboarding and he catches a pass. Here's the thing. The Pro Bowl was such a waste of time
yeah.
in its game format.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They call it the Pro Bowl games. I like actually kind of how they've kind of developed this. Like where it's like, okay, we're gonna have a best catch competition. We're going to have that fielding punt. Like, just have some fun with it.
Right, right.
Have the guys still get the Pro Bowl recognition, but let's not try and trump up the fact that we're playing a non-game game.
Not get guys hurt.
yeah.
Not have guys sitting out because they don't want to get hurt. Yeah.
So.
Might as well. Wow. Gosh, I'm going to have to look that up. I don't know how I missed that one.
There's more events happening today as well, so keep an eye on it. I only have seen it from social media. I have not tuned into it.
Yeah.
Christian, have you tuned into it at all?
No, same thing. I've been keeping up on social media.
I just see name pop up like Puka Nacua. I'm like, all right, what did he do?
He
caught a pass on a wakeboard. All right, cool. So
checks out. Sounds about right.
Well, Puka, that kid is eccentric is the right term, I think, for Puka. Now, we are a week away from the Super Bowl. The teams will be arriving in Vegas. It sounds like it's going to be an absolutely incredible atmosphere down there.
Oh, I have no doubt. Even despite the weird gambling rules that we already hashed out like the week before. Yeah. But I mean, this is a thought that I just barely had this past year, being in Vegas, but it's Las Vegas is set up very, very much like Indianapolis, where everything's interconnected and it's so walkable. And you can be close by to everything that's going on without necessarily being in that particular spot. So it only makes sense that an event like that would do really, really well, just like the NFL Combine does so well in Indianapolis. Like, there's reasons why it works well.
And Vegas is already a zoo when it comes to the Super Bowl. Like, just in and of itself. The fact that the big show is in town.
In Vegas, yeah.
Like, that's just...
That's going to be a party. Double.
Well, we had Q Myers on, who's a radio host down there in Vegas with DJ and PK, and he said, well, they're going to have parties for the parties. Like, said, it's just, it's going to be insane. But he said, I'm super excited about it. He said, the community's buzzing and whatnot, and as you would expect, it's being embraced, and that's the fun part about it. Because he talked a lot about like how the Vegas Golden Knights, like, they've become Las Vegas's team. Like, there was concern that with how vagabond nature that Vegas can be with people in and out all the time, they wanted with the Golden Knights to really kind of latch on to the Vegas natives themselves.
Yeah,
and to their credit, they've done that.
You know, I have family that lives in Vegas, and I mean, they avoid the Strip like crazy.
Sure,
so they're not gonna go to any of the stuff, but they definitely talk about the teams there like they're their teams. So yes, there is like a full-blown embrace of Vegas becoming a sports city. They love it down there.
Yeah. Yep, fun stuff. All right, real quick, also we need to get some Utah Jazz talk in real quick. Now, Michelle, you and I have been talking about them surging. They'd really turn things around. And then suddenly the Jazz decided, I don't know if it's they got a big head, they thought like, or they were exposed a little bit here, but they have backslid. And that's the tough part about what's going on with this Jazz team right now. As you look at it and you're like, okay, what are you guys doing here? Because they've lost three straight. They finished up their road trip with a blowout loss to the Brooklyn Nets. They hung around for a little bit against the Knicks, but then the 76ers, no offense, without Joel Embiid, the 76ers are
no good.
Okay. But then you allow Tyrese Maxey, who, by the way, hearing his post-game interview and whatnot, kid's got an incredible personality. I'm a bigger fan of him today. But they allow him to go for a career-high 51 points right after he finds out he's an NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
And you lose an imminently winnable game, and suddenly you are now two games below 500 if you're the Utah Jazz.
My, how quickly things can change.
You're not kidding. And we have a unique anomaly, and PK pointed this out. I think he was the first person to point it out, that this month, in the month of February, the Utah Jazz don't play any Friday or Saturday games, period.
Wow.
Road, home, none.
Anywhere.
Their next game, they play at home tomorrow, so Sunday. They had three Sunday home games this year. They're taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. It was kind of one of the unique anomalies. You're like, okay, NBA, like...
Yeah, where are the games,
Friday,
man?
And Saturday night, but yeah, we have no Friday or Saturday games for the Jazz at all
this February.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting, but we'll see what they do, because they got a really tough stretch here. Bucks tomorrow, Thunder Tuesday, at Suns on Thursday, and then the following week, you have two matchups against the Warriors sandwiched around a game against the Lakers, and that's all in the lead-up to the All-Star break. So
good luck and Godspeed.
There's like, I'm looking at, okay,
I can say.
Bucks, Thunder, Sun, Warriors, Woo! Lakers, Warriors. I'm just like, could you drop nine straight? Like,
isn't it funny? It feels like we're talking about the Jazz kind of like the way we're talking about the Utah Utes, where it's like, we've seen both sides of this coin. What are you doing?
Yeah, they've lost 6 of 8. That's going back. And that's after, so the Warriors game that was postponed, that one's been rescheduled. It's going to be the 15th. So, It's like, okay, we watched them surge so strongly, and they'd put themselves right in the thick of it. And I still believe this is a team that's got playoff caliber. Like, if they want to make the playoffs, Jake and Ben have been talking about it all week. They have the capability of making it. If they want to make it, they can get in. And that's probably via the play-in, but hey, you're in. Mm-hmm. The question is, like, okay, are you guys screwing around here? Like, what are we doing? And and the thing is that one other point real quick is Will Hardy, after the Philadelphia game, said, we are playing hard physically. He said our mental component at times isn't kind of matching. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And what's interesting, just to jump in here, is he's been on that for like the last probably week or two.
Well, he has. You're right.
Filling in on doing some of these Jazz games. Like, he keeps bringing that up. That's been an issue, and it's, like, starting to be a really big red flag for the team.
And that kind of brings me to my point. I was like, did they get a big head? I think that they may have gotten ahead of themselves as a team. Like, oh, yeah, hey, we figured it out. It's like, no.
Well, and especially when you're dealing with so many kind of younger guys.
Yes, and this is still a pretty young team.
Really cut their teeth. And don't understand how quickly things can change in the NBA.
Well, it's changing right now.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So we'll see. But they got a really tough stretch in the lead up to the All-Star break. These next six games are very, very difficult.
And the trade deadline is next Thursday, too.
Yeah, the 8th, yes.
So, yeah. Chop block.
When they play, when they are in Phoenix to take on the Suns, it's actually the only, by the way, in this seven-game stretch, it's the only road game. They have six home games sandwiched around that road game at Phoenix on Thursday. And yes, is Trader Danny, as most people know him, Danny Ainge, is he going to make a move here? That's kind of the intrigue for the week ahead. But we'll see. All right.
I mean, if people don't produce, you may be gone.
Well, that's true. All right, we will come back on this side, wrap things up. We do need to say goodbye to a legend. And I think you know who I'm talking about, Michelle, do you? We'll talk about it next. This is the Saturday Show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Saturday Show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, Michelle, we got to talk. This connects the sports world with the film world. Carl Weathers passed away yesterday.
I did see that.
Now, Carl Weathers is a former NFL linebacker turned movie star who has been an action icon forever. A lot of people will think of him as Colonel Dylan in Predator opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Never seen it.
You never saw Predator?
No.
Oh my gosh, Michelle. Okay. Have you seen him as Apollo Creed?
No.
Oh, this is sad. Chubbs?
No.
What? You haven't seen Happy Gilmore?
No.
I can't do this show with you anymore. I cannot do this show with Michelle Bodkin anymore, everybody. You haven't seen Happy Gilmore?
No.
Michelle Bodkin. You're going home. It's okay. But Chubbs, come on. Oh, geez. What other movies? Oh, have you seen him in The Mandalorian as Greef Karga?
No.
Oh, geez. What do you know Carl Weathers as? Please say Arrested Development is playing himself, but it's fictionalized.
I did actually see that just recently. I just barely watched Arrested Development.
He plays a fictionalized person of himself.
Yes.
And he's awesome, by the way.
Funny. Yeah. He's like the mentor.
Yes.
Yeah, that takes him for all of his money. Yeah, funny. good stuff. Yeah, that's what I. That's
Arrested
apparently,
Development.
That's apparently it. And we're lucky I saw that one. I finished that maybe 6 months ago.
Okay, so he played 8 games in 1970 and 1971 for the Raiders. He played at San Diego State in his college career. He majored in theater, so it was pretty natural for him to make the transition as he did. He was in the Canadian Football League for 2 seasons, but then it went on to be in the first 4 Rocky movies. He's Apollo Creed, as most people will know him, which has spawned an entire franchise now. 5 Rocky movies, Rocky Balboa, the standalone movie, and oh, by the way, we have a trilogy now of Creed, which is fictionalized that his son, Apollo Creed. So you haven't seen any of this?
No.
You've never seen the Creed trilogy that came out recently, Michael B. Jordan?
No.
Oh my goodness, this is incredible. let's see, Predator, Action Jackson?
No.
Oh my. Okay. Oh jeez, this is incredible. By the way, you've not seen any of these?
No.
The training montages in Rocky IV.
I mean, like,
that whole
I know
the tiger sequence in number Rocky
yeah, number three. Yeah,
oh,
come on now.
I know the like run up the stairs. Da, 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 da,
That's
da,
Rocky. That's not Apollo Creed.
Okay, well, I'm familiar with that, like, but I haven't even watched that either. So,
oh my goodness, fake wooden hand Chubbs, man. Michelle, I'm putting you like on like a list of movies. You need to see Carl Weathers like in all of his glory because he has done some incredible stuff. And
you know what football player turned actor I have seen?
Who?
Merlin Olsen in Little House on the Prairie.
Everybody's seen Merlin Olsen in Little House on the Prairie from the state of Utah. Come on now.
Just saying, I'm not totally hopeless, okay?
He's Hans Olsen's uncle, obviously, but Hans will tell you he has multiple people who will meet him, realize that Merlin Olsen is his uncle, and they don't refer to, first off, the fearsome foursome in the Los Angeles Rams, his Hall of Fame career. They don't talk about him being an incredible broadcaster for the NFL after that. They don't even talk about his time as an All-American at Utah State. They talk about him being on Little House of the Prairie.
Yeah, the best friend. The Charles Ingalls best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. Darby. Something Darby. I forget what the first name is. Anyway, yeah. What a note to end this show on.
Michelle Bodkin, I have never been more disappointed in you.
Oh, no. She doesn't watch movies and TV. Awful. Horrible.
You haven't seen a single movie that Carl Weathers was in or a TV show. Well, I said one TV show.
I could get it, like Predator is kind of like niche,
it's
right?
It's niche, yes.
But the one that surprises me the most is Happy Gilmore.
Michelle, you've seen The Waterboy, but you haven't seen Happy Gilmore. You saw the C to the A.
Here's the thing. Happy Gilmore came out when I was a kid, and my parents dictated what I watched. They don't like Adam Sandler.
Oh, okay.
So I did not grow up watching Adam Sandler movies because they found him really irritating, and I kind of do too. But like, The Waterboy came out when like I was of my own autonomy and I could pick things, and my friends wanted to go see it, so I saw it, and it's horrifically stupid, and Adam Sandler kind of is super annoying, but there are some great parts in it, so I do actually find myself sitting and watching it way more than I ever would have expected.
All right, Michelle, I'm going to finish off today's show with a quote from Happy Gilmore. The price is wrong, Bob. All right, that's going to do it. For the Carl Weathers list, Michelle Bodkin, I'm Jake Atch. Big thanks to everybody. You haven't seen a single one of his movies.
No.
This is incredible. I am beside myself today. All right, that's going to do it. Have a great day, everybody. This is the Saturday Show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.